which is the United States v. Juan Fletcher Gordillo.
Good morning. May it please the court, Fred Haddad on behalf of the appellate. This is, excuse me, a single issue appeal from a sentencing guideline issue with an enhancement, as it were, for the defendant's possession of a semi-automatic rifle that was capable of accepting a large capacity magazine. As you know, since the court has reviewed the facts in the brief, that there are no cases on point as to what close proximity means. In the instance of a simple issue of possession of the firearm. In this instance, the firearm was located in a locked gun case at the head of the appellant's bed. And at the foot of the bed, some 8 to 10 feet away, were a bag, as it were, a gun tote bag that contained magazines that were empty, but they were that far away.
And can you help me with the facts just a little bit more, Mr. Haddad? I understand that the firearm was in a case. The case was locked, and as you say, the locked case was at the foot of the bed, or
the head of the bed.
The head of the bed. Do we know whether the case was a leather case, whether it was a vinyl case, whether it was a metal case, whether it was a plastic case? And do we know anything about the nature of the lock?
We know
in this record.
In this record, I believe the policeman testified in cross-examination by Mr. Cohen that it was a hard case. That would necessarily lead me to believe, I know a little bit about guns, that it would be either a fiberglass case or a metal case, because a hard case only comes in certain ways. If you think of a ski case or something like that, it would be something that was hard. He did say, the agent, that the clips were there. It was a lock. Whether it had padlocks on it, I don't know. But in the record, it is established that at least it was if you have those clip locks like you would on a case like that, it was locked.
Right. Do we know anything about the lock itself?
No, sir. That was not established, just that it was flip locks, and I assume it was, and that's just an assumption, that it was a lock on the top and the bottom, since it would be a standard gun case,
right,
in AK-47s.
Right.
A little shorter than most guns, but a long rifle.
And the bag was a leather bag with no lock on it.
I would note from the record, since the court's in the record, and I know this court ruled in U.S. versus Williams, it doesn't matter, there was no ammunition for the gun. The policeman testified they found 9mm pistol ammo. There was no suggestion that any ammunition was found for the gun.
But that wouldn't matter.
I'm sorry, sir?
That wouldn't matter for our purposes.
Not under your case in, right, Williams, correct.
We're all bound by it, right or wrong.
Well, I understand that. I'm just pointing.
Let me ask you a question this way. Why, when we look at what the term close proximity means, there's no definition.
Correct.
In the guidelines. Why ought we not give it the normal definition that we might commonly understand that to mean, which would mean that when we speak of proximity, we're talking about both space and time, that is to say, how far away and how long to get access. Shouldn't we understand close proximity to be bounded by the distance and the ready accessibility, it might reasonably take, and be done with it and use that as a general definition and then ask whether or not this was closely proximate?
Well, obviously, there's not much on it because both of our arguments were about 4 pages long, because the two cases that touch upon it found close proximity. My argument would be, as was semi pretty much raised by Lowe, is close proximity in essence equates to facilitation, the ability to get to it. I mean,
that's accessibility.
The guidelines are there.
You mean accessibility.
Yeah, accessibility. And if you have to go unlock a case, go to another bag to get the magazine, I know the court's decisions say it doesn't matter whether or not it's loaded, but when you think of it in the abstract, it's still only a gun that's capable of accepting. The reasoning behind any of the guidelines for guns enhancements is because of the inherent nature of guns, such as in the drug cases from every court, where proximity can be across the street. In this case, when you think about it, the gun in and of itself and not facilitating any other crime or even alleged.
I guess my question is, even if I agree with you that the drug analogy is not a very good one.
I agree.
Because that's in connection with, it's the objects are different, the language is different, arguably the purpose is different. And all I'm looking to is whether the firearm and the clip and the ammunition were in close proximity. Why wouldn't this be close proximity, defining it in terms of time and space? By space, I mean accessibility. One is at the head of the bed, one is at the foot of the bed. If all I needed was a key to unlock the gun case, and all I had to do is go into the bag to take the clip and stick it into the semi-automatic weapon, why isn't that close proximity?
I would say under that argument, it could be anywhere. I would suggest to the court.
Well, no, I don't think it could be anywhere. Let's just suppose you had two apartments on a floor and there were two bedrooms that were just divided by a wall. And in one bedroom, in one apartment, was the firearm. And in another bedroom behind the wall in a different apartment, were the magazine clip. I, even though it's close, it certainly isn't accessible. And I think you'd have a much more powerful argument in that circumstance. But if it's in the same room, resting against the same bed, one in the front, one in the back, I'm hard pressed to see why that wouldn't be closely proximate. Maybe I'm missing it.
I don't know. I was trying to think all night of what the question would be from this court, from you particularly, about that issue. And all I can say to the court is this, is that I understand spatially the distinction of the wall, because it wouldn't be as readily accessible. I'm submitting to the court, at least as our argument, in a case with a lock is the same as being behind the wall.
Okay.
And that, I mean, that's the argument I have to make, that it, that is the only reasonable argument under the circumstance. If the defendant wanted it to be readily accessible, he wouldn't have had them separated and locked in separate cases. Oh, excuse me, the gun bag wasn't locked, but a locked box for the gun. So I think that's a spatially different as having it behind an apartment wall.
Isn't one way of looking at this case what trying to envision what the defendant would do if he needed the gun? And it's a question of unlocking the case and then finding the magazine and attaching the magazine to the gun. And what the time frame would be for that. And it seems to me that could be done in a matter of 10 seconds, it seems to me. You unlock it and then go put the magazine in. And we do have a room here, right? Because there was some confliction in the testimony, but I think we can all safely say that even the defendant agreed that we were talking about no more than 10 feet.
Correct.
So that's really what we're talking about here in the same room with a relatively short period of time to put the two pieces together.
I can't disagree with you. As we all know, there's no decision on it.
No, I understand that.
And it's going to be what the court determines on a gun that is not involved in any other criminal activity, what close proximity means for purposes of such an enhancement of that type. And whether or not a separation of the two, because neither standing alone is illegal, neither the weapon nor the magazine, it's only the status of the person, what close proximity means. And of course, that's why we're before this court. So I can't say anything else. I mean, this is something the court has to decide as to what close proximity is. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Mr. Haddad.
May it please the court, Stephanie Hauser on behalf of the United States of America. With me at counsel table is Anita White, Assistant United States Attorney, who handled this matter before the district court. This is a relatively simple case about whether or not a distance of 8 to 10 feet is close proximity. I do want to address something about the factual record here. While there was testimony from the defendant that the gun itself had a gun lock, there is actually no record evidence that the case itself was locked or that the bag was locked as well. Based on these facts, this case...
Sorry, draw the distinction for me, would you, between whether the case and the gun lock. So the gun lock was a lock on the gun itself?
Correct.
I see.
And not the case itself. And there is also...
I'm sorry, I'm confused factually what we have here. I thought the record evidence was the semi-automatic weapon was in a gun case and the case itself was locked.
I believe the testimony...
Did I misunderstand that?
I believe so, Your Honor.
Okay.
I believe the gun itself...
Tell me what the evidence is and where I'm going to find it.
It was in the defendant's testimony at the sentencing hearing.
And I see on page 22 of that hearing that the argument of counsel for the defense was, my argument is when a gun is in a possibly locked case and it is a locked gun, I don't think.
Correct, Your Honor.
So the answer is it's, quote, a possibly locked case and there's a lock on the gun.
Correct. And I would also point out that there is no evidence here that the defendant himself could not have unlocked the gun or even the case had it been locked. It's in the PSR that he would go to the gun range, use both of these, use the weapon with the magazines. And so there is no real accessibility issue on these facts.
How do we look at and what kind of meaning do we give to the term close proximity? It's not defined in the guidelines.
I think we give it its plain definition, which is, as you said earlier, is near in space and time and distance.
So it's not enough that it's just close in the sense of space. It's got to be accessible.
I think there are...
See, because you make an argument that suggests maybe something a little bit different than that.
I think on these facts, distance alone is sufficient because we do not have any dispute that the defendant could, that he was not in possession of both the firearm and the magazine. So here, I think distance would be sufficient. It's a distance of 8 to 10 feet. In other factual circumstances, the court might want to look at other factors in terms of accessibility. I know you gave the apartment example previously. I think if both are locked and the defendant doesn't have a key to the other apartment, that distance there might not be enough. But what if he does have the key? And in that instance, he would be able to get access.
So you think it's like the circumstances of the drugs and the gun? See, you cite that as an analog. He says, well, it isn't a very good one for a lot of reasons, not the least of which is the language is different. They were talking in connection with, we're talking about really facilitating a drug crime.
Absolutely. And I think the difference there actually is in the guns and drugs circumstance, it's a higher burden because there the court would have to find that the defendant was in possession of or selling drugs and that would potentially be able to use the weapon to facilitate that. So now we're talking about accessibility, and I think the language is easily retrievable in those cases so that you could actually use the gun for either protection or enforcement or whatnot in connection with selling drugs. Here, the close proximity is asking, is the firearm within close proximity of the magazine? It actually doesn't, it's not asking whether the defendant is in close proximity to either of those, and it's not asking how or why or in connection with anything that the defendant would be using this firearm.
Well, then you're talking now about not about accessibility or time really so much as just distance. Is that correct?
Yes.
But I thought proximity also covered time, your original formulation.
Yes, I think time could be a factor. I'm saying on
the time. The time is what? The time is just to go between the two, or is it the time to actually extract the gun and be able to and to be able to put the magazine in it? You follow me? It's not just the time to cover the space. It's the time to do what you would want to do with the gun.
Yes, correct.
Mm-hmm.
So the critical question, as Judge Walker is asking you, is it readily accessible?
Under these facts, I believe so.
No, but is that relevant in formulating a test?
Yes.
As you can see, we're trying to think of if we were to write this opinion, how would we write the opinion in a way that would make sense, not just in this case, but in future cases?
Yes, I understand. I do.
If you have a situation, presumably, it's important that he be able to unlock the gun. If it's locked in a locked case, we couldn't just write an opinion and say, well, it was in a locked case, but it was close to the to the magazine, and therefore it's okay, we would have to say, and the defendant had the ability to unlock the gun. Because if the lock was in a different town, there wouldn't be accessibility.
I think we also should consider that the lock on the gun itself also goes to whether or not the gun is in fact operable. And right. If we look at the United States versus Davis case out of the Eighth Circuit, which was cited in the appellant's brief, and that's a published opinion. In that case, the Eighth Circuit held that a matter of temporary inoperability, in that case, the gun was actually missing its trigger, is actually not relevant to the analysis of prosecution.
Right, but we don't have that problem here. Mr. Haddad is not suggesting the weapon was inoperable. I'm quite certain if it was inoperable, we would have heard that, and the district judge would have heard that.
If there are no further questions, we'd ask you to affirm. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
In all respect, I don't think I need to respond anymore. The court has the issues better than I do.
Thank you much, Mr. Haddad.
Thank you,
Judge. Thank you, counsel.